Blog Talk Radio.
Back, I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's Word. But there is no word like God's Word. There is nothing that we can do that is better than God. You know, God has made us from one blood, all the nations of the world. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We cannot continue to let ourselves be divided on the grounds of what's on the outside, because it is what's on the inside that's important. The word that God gave me this morning was God has made from one blood all nations. Can I say it again? God has made from one blood all nations. All nations. One blood. Not my words, but God's words. And if you say you love God and you say you love Jesus, then what is the big deal about someone looking different, talking different than you? With a different language and a different culture, because God made all nations. He didn't specify. It said all nations. It didn't say I made you, America, better than you, France. It didn't say I made you, United Kingdom, better than Nigeria or Japan. We are all God's children and God's creation, and he loves us all the same because he created us in his image. We have got to quit fighting over stupid stuff. I'm going to beat you up over you stepped on my foot. I'm going to kill you. You looked at me wrong, or you cut me off in traffic. That's not a God. That's not of God. God is the creator of all of us. All of us and everything. And he doesn't ask much. That we love him and that we love each other. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all the strength of mind. Thou love him with every part of your being. Thou love God with every heart, all your parts, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Then he says, the biggie, love your neighbor as yourself. And we, as men and women of God, we say we love God. We say that we are Christians. But do we act like it? Are we kind? Are we loving? Do we treat our brother as if they, or I should say, do we treat our neighbor as if they are our brother or our sister? Do you smile? Are you happy? Or do you walk around with a frown and always something negative to say? Speak life over your brothers speak life over your sisters. Speak life all over the world. Thank you, Pastor Fred, for those words. You need to bring that song out again. We need to bring out love for our brothers and sisters. We need to speak life over our families. Speak life over all of the people we love. And sometimes just speak life over the people you don't even know. As you're driving down the street and look to your right, speak life over the driver to your right. Look to your left, speak life over the driver to your left. Speak life over the people walking down the street. Carry extra stuff in your car so you can give that homeless man or woman a bottle of water or some chips or some crackers or something and some water. Even if you don't have much, give what you can. You'd be amazed. You never know. You may be servicing angels and giving to angels unaware. Be kind. All one blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood that God put in each of our hearts that goes through it, that is filtered by a liver. God put in all the things. If I gave a transplant to someone with my kind of rare, crazy blood type, then maybe they would give their blood to someone else. Let's speak life over our brothers and sisters, because again, we are all one blood. Starting in our word this morning, Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning thanking you for breathing the breath of life in each and every one of us, for giving us your blood that flows through our veins, that we are all one, one nation of sisters and brothers under God. Not just America, not just France, not just Japan, not just Nigeria, not just the Caribbean or the Bahamas, not just, but all Ukrainians and Russians are one blood, one family. And we pray unity. We're all one blood. God placed in us all. Father God, as you have placed your blood in all of us, that we are covered by your blood, and that we are all one nation because you made us nations under men, but one blood. God, I ask you to bless this world, Lord. Help us to get out of chaos, confusion, so that you can bless our land. Lord God, we are humbly praying today. We are humbling ourselves before you today, seeking your face that we can hear from heaven so that you can hear the land, oh God. We're asking for our super healing of our planet, God. Our trees are dying, God. And we know it's our trees that keep us breathing. It's our trees that bring life to us because they filter out the impurities in the atmosphere. Father God, we're asking for a new birth of all of us, a new birth to be better to each other and to have compassion and caring. Father God, I lift up this word and pray that it touches hearts, minds, and spirit, that those that hear it, hear your voice and not mine. I ask you, Father God, to please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Father God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Woo, hallelujah. I lift up this word this morning. And we start off with Jehoshaphat, who we all know, who was like his daddy, so he did what he was supposed to do in the sight of God. Good parents can have awful children. And unfortunately, that is what's going to happen. Read about prayer. Prayer can change himself. As we all know, in our lesson on yesterday, we watched God bless them. We watched God fight the battle for them. But the battle was not theirs. It was the Lord. The Lord fought for them. The Lord told them not to be afraid. The Lord was right there with them. Why? Because of prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer will move mountains. And I love this word that came from yesterday's lesson. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow go down against them, and they will surely come up by the accent of this. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. You will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And I love this word, who is with you. Can you say it with me? God is with me. It's my battle. So let's go into our word this morning, because we're going to talk about prayer. And it says this, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. One of my favorite songs is Paul Morton's Bow Down and Worship Him. Worship Him. Oh, worship Him. We got to bow down and worship our Father God, because he has given us the blood that flows through our veins. And we are one, many nations of men, but one blood. And it goes on to tell us, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Whew. Say that one more time. Say two times. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And for the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who came against Judah, and they were defeated. But the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. They came out for God's people and wound up turning on each other and killing each other. And God's people didn't have to do anything. They'll walk in and get the spoils. God is in charge of everything. And all we have to do is believe. When Jehoshaphat and his people came and took away their spoils, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoils, because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berechiah, but there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Berechiah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets, to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdom of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. So Jehoshaphat was king over Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years. He was pretty young when he died. He came in at 35 and was out at 25, at 60 years old. Three score. He got three score. And it goes on to say, 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azurva, the daughter of Shahad. And he walked in the way of his father Asa, and he did not turn aside from it, doing what was right of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not directed their hearts to the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last indeed, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, which is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who acted very wickedly. And he allied himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships of Ezron Geber, but Ahaziah, the son of Dodavah, of Mereshai, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your work. Then the ships were wrecked so that they were not able to go to charge. And Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. He had brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azirah, Jahiel, Zechariah, Azir, Yahu, Michael, Shephatiah, and all these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their fathers gave them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things, with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom of Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and killed all his brothers with the sword, and also others of the princes of Israel. That's some vicious, nasty stuff. But again, he did it so that nobody could take his place. And then it goes on to tell us, Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the ways of the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. For he had the daughter, oh, come on now, he had a Jezebel. But he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife. And we know, praise the Lord, we just going to keep it moving. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David, because of the covenant that he had made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. In his days, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. So Jehoram went out with his officers and all his chariots with him, and he rose by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him and the captains of the chariots. Thus Edom had been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day. At that time, Libnah revolted against his rule because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry and led Judah astray. And a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet saying, thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your father, or in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but have walked in the way of the kings of Israel and have made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot like the harlotry of the house of Ahab, and also have killed your brothers who were better than yourself. Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction, your children, your wives, and all your possessions, and you will become very sick with a disease of your intestines until your intestines come out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians who were near the Ethiopians, and they came up into Judah and invaded it and carried away all the possessions that were found in the king's house, and also his sons and his wives, so that there was not a son left to him except Joahash, the youngest of his sons. After all this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease. And it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of his sickness. So he died in severe pain. And his people made no burning for him like the burning for his father. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tomb of the king. Wow. Hot mess. Married to Ahab daughter. So you know he was full of sin because his wife, Goliath. And as we continue, it goes on to say in chapter 22 of the book of Second Chronicles. Then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. But the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, but his mother advised him to do wickedly. Therefore, he did evil in the sight of the Lord like the house of Ahab, But they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. He also followed their advice, went with Jeroboam, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram. Then he returned to Jezreel, recovering from the wounds which he had received at Ramah, when he fought against Hazael, king of Assyria. And Azariah, the son of Jeroboam, king of Judah, went down to see Jeroboam, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. His going to Jeroboam was God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall. But when he arrived, he went out with Jeroboam against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it happened when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab and found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah, the brothers who served Ahaziah, and he killed them. Then he searched Uriah, and they caught him. He was hiding in Samaria and brought him to Jehu. When they had killed him, they buried him because they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no one to assume power over the kingdom. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. But Jehoshaphat, and I'm sorry, I'm not pronouncing her name right, Jehoshaphat, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Joram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, but she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she did not kill him. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. And let's just say she was just like her mama, Jezebel. A hot mess. But we'll get to her in a later chapter. Let's keep it moving. We are in Psalms chapter 83, verses 1 through 8. It says, do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. But behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their heads. They have taken crafty counsel against your people, and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, Philistine, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. Let's go back, though, to chapter 20 of Chronicles, of Second Chronicles, for some life lessons and some questions. And the first is this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. That's not just a yesterday word. That's a today word. When great fear engulfed the king, he did what all of us should do in frightening times. He sought the Lord with his whole heart and drafted as many people to pray as possible. If you want to prosper in life, you can do no better than to trust in God and believe in his word. Stake your life on it. Prayer changes all kind of things. I believe that with my whole heart. Prayer changes all kinds. And it goes on to tell us, when great fear engulfed the king, he did what all of us should do. And, ooh, in frightening times, one more time, he sought the Lord with his whole heart. And then he got some other folks to come and pray too. We all have to change our attitude when it comes to prayer. We got to pray. And corporate prayer changes a whole lot of stuff. We wonder why some churches are prospering. The churches that have corporate prayer prosper because they are coming together in unity to pray for the people of their congregation, to pray for their community. Concert. We got to pray together. More prayer, more power. 2 Chronicles 20:22, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. It doesn't matter if God's commands don't make sense, like forming a choir to stand up to an army. Obey them anyway. God has already won our battles for us, and his interest in involving us is to build our faith. That's why he will often command us to do things that seem unreasonable, to see if we'll trust him. Therefore, no matter what he tells us to do, we must put all of our heart, our hope, in his almighty hands. We must put every part of our being in God's hands. You know, as the older people used to sing, holding on to God's unchanging hand. We got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. His hands don't change. We got to praise him in the morning, praise him in the noonday. We got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. In 2 Chronicles 20:25, they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. The very thing that Satan had intended to use to ruin God's people, the Lord used to bless and enrich them. God loves to answer the prayers of his obedient people in surprising ways. I'm trusting God for miracles, signs, and wonders this morning. I'm trusting God for the hope in the future. I'm trusting God that all things work out for our good. I'm trusting God for the love that only he can give. And the question is this. Answers the life question. What is our authority in prayer? What is our authority in prayer? And it goes on to tell us, you know, what we read a couple of days ago, that, you know, King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah saw that a great multitude had risen up against them, three groups of aggressors, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the people of Mount Seir launched a major assault against Jerusalem. So the people of Judah sought God. Thank you. They didn't go down the street to Boo-Boo and them. They didn't go over there to Sister Susie. They didn't go to, I'm on my way. God rest her soul. What else to make an exit? I'm on my way. Psychic hotline. They didn't go there. They went to the source of their blood and their strength. They went to God in prayer. And it goes on to say, Jehoshaphat felt deeply afraid, but rather than cower in fear, he set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah and called the people together to join him in seeking the Lord. He stood before the people in the house of the Lord and prayed, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Jehoshaphat did not express doubt in the power of God, but rather publicly proclaimed his trust in Almighty God. He declared that he was putting all of his hope in the Lord of unlimited power In addition, Jehoshaphat stated very plainly that he, even as king of Judah, stood in total humility and weakness before the Lord. He claimed no authority in or for himself. He said to God, "You are the one who gave us this land. You are the one who allowed your people to dwell in it and build a sanctuary in it. You are the one who said that we should cry out to you in our affliction and would hear and save us. You are the one who told us to spare these enemy people when we first came to occupy this land. You are the one capable of judging these enemies who are rising against us. We have no power and no plan." He concluded his prayer by admitting, "Our eyes are upon you." In effect, Jehoshaphat was saying, if you don't exercise your authority in this manner, we are doomed. We are putting our entire trust and confidence in you and you alone. We see no trace of egotism in Jehoshaphat. He made no demand that God do something that God did not desire to do. Jehoshaphat claimed no authority in himself and also no power for himself. He wisely recognized that all power and all authority rest in God alone. And from that understanding, he petitioned the God of heaven. Hallelujah. You are the one. We got to have that. You are the one in our spirit when we pray to God. You are the one that woke me up this morning. You are the one that gave me strength and breath in my body. You are the one that gave me the job that I go to. You are the one that gave me the vehicle to travel to and from. And Lord God, you are the one that gave me shelter. You are the one who gave me my children. You are the one who gave me the blood in my body. You are the one that made us all your children. And I trust in you, Daddy God. I believe in you, Daddy God. And I know that all things are possible in you, Daddy God. And I believe that you said in your word that whatever I ask for in your name, you would do it. We are asking for healing of our lands, Father God. We're asking for healing of all the nations of men who have the same blood. Healing, God. In Jesus' name, heal our lands, oh God. Save our trees, oh God. And continue allowing us to breathe the breath of life. For you are in charge of everything. You are the one. Hallelujah. And there shall be no other God before you. In my heart, in my mind, in our spirit, God. We got to pray and lift up the name of Jesus. And we got to pray with authority that he is the one. 2 Chronicles 20:37. Because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah. The Lord has destroyed your works. Most of us have at least one blind spot that gives us trouble. Jehoshaphat was his tendency to make foolish alliances outside of God's will. He discovered that whatever we acquire outside of the will of God turns to ashes. The Bible tells us, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Through his unholy alliance with the wicked Ahab and Ahaziah, Jehoshaphat ended up ruining his own family. Yes, he did. And if we go into our psalm word that we just read, one of the words it says is in Psalm 83:1. It says, do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. The book of Psalms is full of pleas for God to act in power to rescue his believed people. Often God does not act until we feel an urgency for him to do so. That way he gets all the glory. Hallelujah. We give God the glory this morning. We give God the glory this morning. But there is no God like our God. And if we go into Proverbs 21:1, it says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Hallelujah. We all belong to God. And he is the author and finisher of our story. Whatever your story is, God wrote it. Whatever you got to do, God has already preordained it. Whatever your assignment is, whatever your blessings are, they are irrevocable. You got to do what you are asked to do. And I tell you something, when you do, yes, you will go through some stuff because the enemy's going to come at you like nobody's business. You're not going to be able to find what you need. You're going to just feel like it, just chaos. Then from your chaos, from your mess, is going to come a powerful message. I'm believing God for some powerful messages because God knows we all have our message. Hallelujah. Whatever your mess may be, look at that mess and say, ah, not today. I got power. I got Holy Ghost power because I know who my daddy is, and I know that his blood flows through my veins. Hallelujah. And as we get into the book of Acts chapter 17, as we finish it up this morning, Paul is traveling. Paul is traveling with his boys, with Mark and Timothy. And now he is in Athens, and he is not feeling it. Wazoo. Because they were decadent. They were decadent Greeks. And they were doing some stuff. And he was like, what in the world? So let's go ahead and see what's going on with Paul this morning. This is now while Paul waited for them. And let's go back so you'll know who the them is. And it goes on to say, and we're going to go back to verse 13 of chapter 17. It says, but when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul in Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowd. And immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. And I think I said Mark because he didn't like Mark. That's why him and Barnabas broke up. So he's with Silas and Timothy now. And he remained there. And he said, so those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens and received a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him. With all speed, they departed. So now you know where we are in chapter 17. Now Paul waits for them, Silas and Timothy. At Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? Because again, willows in the wind, sway, go that way. Go this way, go that way. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians, the Athenians, and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. They were idols. They did not do anything. They were affluent, and they did not have to work. So they did philosophy. They studied the stars. They studied medicine. They studied foreign gods. They everything, and they worship all kind of gods. We all know, we've heard of Zeus and Athena and Icarus and, you know, all the Greek gods, Hercules and everything. We didn't heard of them. And then it goes on to say, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. Again, the one. You are the one. All these other things are stone and bronze. They can be broken and burned. The one. And it goes on to say, ooh, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. He's about to get some folks saved. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord, he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Can you say it again? I am going to. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Come on, Paul, you better preach. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Come on now. You better say it. The breath in our bodies come from the one, from God our Father. Hallelujah. Let's get to the word. This is what God gave me this morning, because we are world divided by war and foolishness, liars and cheats and authoritarians want to take over the world for their own purposes. And we have to be careful as men and women of God that we don't fall into the same okey-doke of foolishness where we want to tell everybody how to live their life when God even gives us free choice. God gives us the freedom to choose. Come on now, I'm going to call it like it is. Hell or heaven. You have a choice. Where are you going to spend eternity? Are you doing what thus says the Lord? Are you acting like a child of God? Or are you just doing whatever you want to do? Treating folks any old way. Saying things that are not right. God wants us to love each other. And you'll understand as we finish this word. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Can I say it again? And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And this is that word you hear people say it all the time. For in him we live and move and have our being, but we are also his offspring. Whew. So can I say it one more time? He has made from one blood every nation of men. Every nation of men. But it is in him we live and move and have our being. And when we remember that, we know that we are one with God. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these things of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to forgive us. Forgive me for all my sins that I've committed in thought, word, or deed. We must repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by rising him from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked while others said, we will hear you again on this manner. So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius and the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. And I love the life lesson that came from the book of Acts. And it just says this, he is not far from each one of us. When we seek the Lord, we do not go in search of a disinterested God who has better things to do five galaxies away. We seek a God already near to us who invites our search and he promises to reward it. Are you seeking God today? Are you asking God to come into your life, to be the one who builds up every space in you? Father God, you are the one true God. And it's in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior, we seek you. The more we seek you, Father, we know we will find you because you are the one who put your blood in our veins. For we are one blood. One blood. Because there's only one God. Hallelujah. We thank God today that he is the one God. God is made from one blood, all nations. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And before we get out of here this morning, away from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Good morning. When you learn to recognize, come on now, just call her. I don't ask her, what's your word? If I don't get it before 8 o'clock, we do it the next day or whenever God puts it in my heart to bring it up. But today's word right there. Come on now. Ooh, this girl don't know. She going to make me shout this morning. When you learn to recognize God in the smallest and most ordinary things, your life will be amazingly exciting. Have a wonderful Wednesday. But I tell you this one more time. When you learn to recognize God in the smallest and most ordinary things, your life will be amazingly exciting. See, you get up in the morning and you see the birds feeding in the yard. Do you see the plants growing because the seeds are sprouted? I was driving through the cornfields the other day, driving on the road, not in the cornfields, I want to clarify. But on both sides of the highway were cornfields. The road I was on was cornfields. And, you know, growing up, you know, in the South, all the things they used to say, that corn should be knee-high by the 4th of July. This corn is over knee-high. I was looking at the corn. I'm like, wow, this box is taller than I am. And I'm 5 feet tall, not very tall. But I tell you one thing. God is showing up and showing out food to feed the hungry nations. Well, one thing that they've got it going on and they're in charge and they're stopping everything. They better watch out. God is in charge of everything. Don't think that you can run a world or ruin a world that God created. Because I tell you one thing, God will show up and show out. So folks thinking they running something, better get a clue. You run nothing. Only one ruling this world. What Beyonce said, girls, who runs the world, girls? No, they don't. God does. So take that, baby. God runs. Who rules the world? God does. Hallelujah. That's who rules this world because he created it. And he created us with one blood for all the nations of men. God loves us like that. And we are brothers and sisters, family. We are all family. And we need to start acting better than some families act. We got to love each other. Love your brothers. Love your sisters. Love your cousins and friends. I was looking at my DNA profile one day, and I'm like, whoa, where did they come from? I've never heard that name before. I've never heard this name before, but it says they are my fourth cousin. It says they're my fifth cousin. It says they are my third cousin. What? How do I not know them? You know, and as you're looking, you're finding people that you have no idea who they are, and they don't look like you. When you go and you find out, oh, wait a minute, how in the world did I, where did Norwegian come from in my DNA? Norwegian? Really? Well, the United Kingdom? And then you find out, nope, then you got that Cameroon, and you got Nigeria is your main place. And then Cameroon on your mother's side because you're a Takar. And you keep going and you're finding out all these things and you're like, wow, God, we're all yours. And we're from all over. That just goes to show one more time, one blood every nation. Come on now. We got to understand we are all one with God. And I thank God for his grace. You know, and I laugh out loud because you know how we were little kids. Well, I got Indian in my family, meaning Native American. I do. Thank you. Praise the Lord. A little bit of here, a little bit of there, a true melting pot. And I thank God because you just don't know who might be your cousin. Thanking God for his grace and his mercy and his blood. And our prayer for this morning is sadness. And it says, it's cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Gracious God, I come to you with my whole heart today. I don't want to hold anything back from you. Here are the worries that have been running around the track of my mind. They have worn me down, and I don't know what to do with them. Only you see the depth of feeling in my heart. Here is the sadness that has been lining my heart. Come and comfort me as only you can and bring relief. Let the healing staff of your presence take away the sting of grief. I know that you care for me. God, bring life to the parts that I don't even know how to name. I will not stop turning to you because it's only in you, the one, that I find the reprieve my way down so long for. Take my anxiety, remove it from me. Bring the rest that only you can, and I will live another day singing your praises. Who is like the Lord? Hallelujah! And I'm going to say it, nobody. What weighty emotions can you offer to God today is the question. But I'm changing the question this morning to who is like the Lord, and I answer, nobody. Thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. It has been a great word, and I thank God for being who he is, our awesome and mighty Father. He is a great, great God. And I just say one more time, God is made from one blood, all nations. I thank God for you, my brothers and sisters. And as we depart, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, be healed, be made whole, one with the Lord. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. I got to go to work so I can pay for this show. I love y'all. Be blessed and have a great day. Thank you so much for listening in and having Bible study with me this morning. Have a great day. And remember, God loves you. And so do I. Have a wonderful day. Be blessed. It's a wrap.